Pastor Bronk, why don't you come?
Hallelujah. Ooh, authority. A number of years ago, I sat in a pastor's office, not mine, but somebody else's in Florida. And Pastor Dave was talking to me, and I knew that he was teaching me something as a father. And he said, Bronk, when you get something, he said, when you get something, wait on it. He said, when you get something to give to the body of Christ, and I listened, and then I asked him to re-explain because I wanted to make sure I got it. He said, when you get something, and he wasn't talking about just your momentary revelation that you share over a given particular sermon. He began to explain that when you get something that is going to bend and father and teach the body of Christ, make sure that it's Him. Make sure, and he said the greatest thing that you can solidify that with is that constant of peace. That constant of peace. He had just went through a series of time where a couple of years later, I think it was, and some of you have heard him talk about it before, he termed it Mr. Impersonator. And of course, he was talking about a spiritual warfare, something he went through, that something that came, that tried to impersonate God and tried to poise himself as God. And of course, through the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, Dave was able to get past that. I say that to say this, is that I know the quality of leadership that he walks in and waits on God. As we've come out here, many of us and many of you through the years, when Pastor Dave first got the revelation of worship, and he's reiterated that during this conference, we all thought that was a independent limb in and of itself. And in a certain sense, yes, but it delivered us over to something maybe even greater. It delivered us over into a love walk and into a place where we began to receive the love of God like we could never, ever imagine. This week, you, I, all of us have talked about that love. It's penetrated, it's permeated this very place. It's been everything that we've talked about. To hear him say, in past conferences, I'm not sure if this is it. I mean, I'm not sure if this is the last limb, but to hear him say with all assurance in this one, this is it. We're standing on the edge of something that we're ready to walk into the fullness of and receive the outpouring. And I believe, and he was saying with all humility, this is it. We haven't arrived, but truth has arrived in fullness. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. It's come. Love has come in the teaching of our finances. Love has come in ways and teaching on God's proper prosperity to us like we could never imagine. It was coupled and founded in such love. The family unit, the koinonia of the Holy Spirit among us as a family, not just our physical DNA family, but us as a family. Love, love, love. When Pastor Jim gave us that warning, it was the warning of love. It's all been founded in this, the love of God. And he's right, so right. Any other preceding move of God, if it ever went amiss, it was a self-destruction. If you study all the great revivals in modern history, although they do not necessarily exemplify the one that we're after, the one with signs and wonders, great following, the one that will take us into the end time where Christ comes and receives us. But if you study them, whether it was Azusa, the Hebridean revival, the Welsh revival, all of those revivals, it was a internal self-destruction. But I believe that we're on the edge of something. The other day that I preached and ministered, the last portion of what I ministered out of was Joel chapter 2. So I said preachers with Bibles are dangerous. There was one verse that I did not read, and I know why now. If you'll turn there with me, Joel chapter 2. Hallelujah. We don't have to go back and reiterate and say that this chapter, these three chapters are prophetic, and we're there. Chapter 2 is us. It's not just an Old Testament historical value chapter. The end of this chapter is us, Pentecost. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's the birth of the church. It's the born-again trail. But preceding or coming up to, out of that experience is a great army. And here's the amazing part. Just as sure as God looking down the corridors of time and prophesying the birth of his son through Isaiah and through every other prophet, and just as sure as God saying, I see my son in the earth, he's coming, and 4,000 years later it happens. Just as sure as all of anything that God's ever said according to his word has ever happened, there's an army, there's an army of revivalists in the last days that God says, I'm God, I cannot lie, I'm writing it down. They make it. They make it. They do not fail. Something comes along so strong. Some group is seeking God so strong and gets, we call them keys. We don't worship them. We call them inroads. We don't worship them, but they take us into that place where they solidify everything that God's word is setting us up to make it to the end. Hallelujah. And I'll read just a couple of verses of where we were the other day. But in verse 7 of chapter 2, it says, before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone in his ways. We taught on all that. They shall not break rank. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his path. This is one of the greatest probably signs of that end time church, is they are not giving offense nor taking offense. And he says here, which is so powerful, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Something happens, they lose the ability to stay wounded. But I like this. It says they shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like thieves. Hallelujah. Listen, this army, this church, wherever you're from, this outpouring, somebody makes it. It might as well be us. Hallelujah. Somebody gets past pettiness. Somebody gets past controlling spirits. Somebody gets past backbiting. Somebody gets past flakiness. Somebody gets past all the internal things that destroyed other moves. Somebody got it. Somebody stayed long enough. Somebody was hungry enough. Somebody was in the word enough. And the most amazing part, this is what makes it right. Not only has Pastor Dave with us said, we're here at the door, and I see the end is love, because if you've got love, you've got God. But the rightness of it is this. Like other moves that have gone to a place and said, oh, you know, way back when we were babies, we believed this. And this is what our belief system used to be. Now, we haven't arrived, but wherever we've grown to, and if we're on the edge of something, even saying that the love is the place where it is the launching pad in now to that great outpouring, we're not leaving behind those things. We're saying This is what we're saying. This is what Pastor Dave has said. This is what Gary just said. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying to all of us. Those principles, those teachings that taught us from the beginning are just as important today as they ever were. Let's continue to pray in tongues. Let's continue to worship. Let's continue to fast. Let's continue to pull up all those things that He built the foundation of truth in our life and not let one of them fall from us. Hallelujah. Why? Because somebody makes it. Somebody climbs in every corridor. Somebody goes into the governor's mansion. Somebody goes into the children's hospitals. Somebody goes into the high streets, the low streets, the byways, the highways. There is an invading force in the last days, and God says, I see it. I see it. I see it. There is a revival that takes place in the last days. Hallelujah. 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 Woo. I told Candy, I said, I think we're going to kind of say some things of what the service has meant. She goes, do you have something? I said, yes. She goes, well, you know what I would say? I said, what is it, baby? She said, I would say this, what it means to me, these services. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Hallelujah. Dr. Jim, praise God.
And to continue right there in Joel chapter 2, leave your Bibles open to it. I'll just show you what the Lord just showed me sitting there. won't belabor this, but as, you know, Pastor Bronk was sharing about, well, look here in chapter 2, about these people that press in and press in and press in and enter in at the gate. And then in verse 10, it just begins, it says, the earth shall quake before them. Before who? Before us. Why is the earth quaking before us? Because we've pressed into that place. That place where God is moving. And then you continue, just real, real, real briefly, continue over in chapter 3. Take a look at this. In verse 9, and here's where we're seeing the culmination of this revival. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Who are the men of war? We're the men of war. We're the ones that are pressed into that place to be spiritually equipped to enter into this warfare against Satan. And why are we doing that? Verse 10, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears, and let the weak say, I am strong. Why is that? Because we have pressed into that place of strength in the Lord. I was weak, but now I'm strong because it's not me, it's Him that's working in me to bring about this strength. And what happens then? Verse 11, here it is, the cry of revival. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. We're calling the heathen. We're saying, come, come to the table of the Lord. Come to the cross of Jesus Christ. Verse 12, let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the heathen round about. And here we go. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down. The press is full. The vats overflow. For the wickedness is great. Now, verse 14. Here's revival. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's your revival. Glory to God. And we're pressing into it. Hallelujah. You done good, Bronk. Hallelujah. Just a couple of things I wanted to share with you. You know, I was thinking about all the people that stood up. I think it was on Monday when Brother Tim said, if this is your first conference, stand up. And we had all these people stand up. And every year it's like that. We have all these first-timers that show up. And you know, I've been coming to these conferences since March of 1997. And if just 10% of all the first-timers were to keep coming back, this building could not hold the crowds. Just 10%. So what's happened? Well, something's happened. And Jesus kind of warned about this in Mark 4, where he talked about the sower sows the word. Well, here this week, has the word not been sown? You know, through the different vessels that have been up here sharing, the word has been sown in different ways. But the word has been sown into our lives. And Jesus says what? Satan comes immediately to steal the word that was sown. Well, we know he can't literally reach on the inside of us and steal it out. So it's got to happen some other way. And there's just one part of this where he mentions how that in verse 19, one method of stealing is the cares of this world. And I'm thinking about this, and it was like the Lord showed to me one of the methods that Satan uses. It's what I'll call the warfare of routine. The warfare of routine. Now think about this. We have come together in this week, and it doesn't matter if you live here in Tulsa and attend this church regularly or not. We're here for this conference. Our day-to-day routine has been completely turned upside down. Everything we do has been altered, especially for the people that have come in out of town. Our whole lives have been changed. Our whole lives have been altered for this entire week. Nothing has been routine. Nothing. And so what's happened? We're in this environment of God's presence, and there is an excitement. There is an anointing. There is a zeal. And because we have been separated from routine, we do not have routine bombarding our minds. What do we have? We have a freedom to meditate on the things of God. And so we hear these messages and we're encouraged. And we're thinking, you know, praise God, this is right. And when I get back home, things are going to be different. How many of us have done that? When I get back home, man, I'm telling you, things are not going to be the same. I'm doing this. I'm going to press in. I'm going to be different. My life is going to change. I'm going to be more like Jesus. I'm going to be what God has called me to be. I am going to fulfill my divine mandate here in this world. And so we go back home, and we're ready. And we're serious, and we mean it. And our hearts are pure and right. And then what happens? Routine is waiting. The routine of the job. The routine of the things at home. The routine of ministry. The routine of our life as it was. And we engage in a warfare that's worse than maybe anything else we'll face. The warfare of routine. And we say things are going to be different and we mean it. But there's somebody else that's waiting for us back home who's saying, no, it won't. You said that last conference, and the conference before that, and the conference before that, and nothing changed. You're still the same loser you've always been. Go ahead, make your plans, go to the next conference. You know why Satan isn't going to be all that concerned or worried about people, some people coming back? It's because if he has figured out what routine to work in your life, then he's just going to keep working it. And how many times have we felt like, I'm meant for things to be different? And we're sitting here in these services thinking, I'm meant for things to be different. And it's just like, man, I just got whooped last time. But this time, this conference, boy, it's going to be different. When I get back home, things are going to be different. Well, I have good news for you. Number one, Jesus has already warned us. The cares of this world, the war of routine, he's already warned us. This is an attack. And God has a plan for every single one of us to win the war of routine, no matter what it is. If you struggle to get up early in the morning, pray and ask God to help you to get up. Ask him to wake you up before the alarm clock. And I mean, ask the wide awake wake up to where you lay there and think, why am I so awake? And God's saying, well, didn't you pray and ask me to do this? And to begin to force yourself to do things differently. For example, if you find yourself getting pulled out of the routine, you know, every morning I pray a little bit, but, you know, just like, well, maybe you should pray in the evening. Turn the television off. Amen. And pray in the evening and do other things in the morning. I don't know. What I'm saying is the war of routine is one of the sneakiest things that Satan will hammer us with. And it's the same thing for me in ministry. Man, I can remember thinking, oh, God, if I was just full-time in ministry, you'd have my life. Well, if he doesn't have your life before you get to full-time ministry, what makes you think he's going to get your life when you're in full-time ministry? You work with what you have now. And God will show you what to do to win that battle of routine. In fact, that's one of the things that I would suggest you pray about even before you get home. God, help me to see the weapon of routine that Satan has been throwing in my life that's kept me from pressing in the way my heart really wants to. And God's going to help you. He'll help me with this. Because I'm telling you guys, I don't want to be stuck in the same old routine over and over and over again and never reach my full potential in Christ. I don't want it to be like that. And I'm just like you. I'm here thinking, boy, when I get back home, things are going to be different. And that routine devil is, he's there saying, you think so? And just like you, I'm saying, yeah, I think so. Because this time it is going to be different. But see, the fact with me here, God has shown me a little bit about what to do. Just a little bit. But there's more he's going to show me. And so I want to encourage you. Know this. The war of routine is real. And it's something that Satan wants to work in your life. This is just to prepare you for this. To help you to become more aware of it, to fight it. One more thing I want to show you. It's in 2 Timothy. To me, one of the most incredible books in the Bible is in 2 Timothy. Because Paul is about to die. And it's like he's handing the baton of ministry over to Timothy. It's like he's saying, you take it from here, son. I've done everything I could. You know the fullness of the doctrine. You know everything I teach. You take it from here and you go on. But in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, in verse 1, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And it strikes me that he emphasized the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And this next verse, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know what jumps out to me in this? He says, commit thou all of these things. Commit thou them, these teachings, to faithful men. He doesn't say to faithful apostles or prophets or teachers or evangelists or pastors or helps or governments. He just says, faithful men, faithful people. You know what that means? That means you. That means you and you and you and you. Every single one of you. God wants you to be one of those faithful men. Things have been committed to every one of us this week. And it doesn't matter if you're an apostle, a pastor, or any of the other titles. It doesn't matter if you don't even know what your ministry calling is. Things have been committed to us this week. Every single one of us, no matter who you are, you have the potential to understand these things and go home and share them with others. You don't have to wait until you figure out if you're called a teacher. Or whatever you're... No. He just said, faithful men. Faithful to what? Faithful to the Word of God. Faithful to your walk in Christ. All too often, a lot of folks that sit in the chairs, the pews, whatever is in the church, they begin to think of themselves as being less than the person who stands up with the microphone. But that's not true. There is no less. There are just different callings and different manifestations of how those callings operate. That's all. But you are no different. None of you. Every single one of you, if you're born again, you have the mind of Christ, and contained in the mind of Christ is the capacity to understand the things of Christ. Even if your grammar isn't the best, and even if you stumble over some of the words, you still have that capacity. Every single one of you. And one of the worst things that Satan has ever done to people is to get them to think of themselves less than other people. Well, that's Pastor Dave. You know, he's got this revelation. You know, that's him. Yes, but listen to what Pastor Dave says about this revelation. He says, here's how I got this revelation and the understanding of the revelation. I prayed in tongues. In other words, he's saying, you can do the same. Every single one of you. Don't you ever fall into the trap of calling yourself too dumb or too stupid or not educated enough to know the things of God. Because all Scripture has been given to us for our edification, for our ability to know and to understand. And every single one of you, even if this is your first conference and these things are new to you, I want you to leave this week and know that you have the ability in Jesus to know and understand these things, and to sit down with somebody. Maybe not stand from a pulpit, but to sit down with somebody with a, you know, a Krispy Kreme and some Starbucks. And explain these things to them. Or maybe a Pepsi and some popcorn. You are not dumb. Do you hear me? You are not dumb. You are birthed of God Almighty. His life, His spirit, His nature, and His character has taken up residence on the inside of you. You have the mind of Christ. And you have the ability to spiritually discern and understand all of these things. There is no such thing as ignorant in the kingdom of God. It's just a matter of learning. So I want to encourage you, do not think you cannot know these things, and do not think that you are incapable of sharing these things with others. Start considering yourself as a faithful man or woman of God. Father, I am, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, I am a faithful person who is able to commit and teach these things to other people. Praise God. I have enjoyed this week and I have been blessed. Hallelujah. Pastor Dave.